Blog Talk Radio.
Where everything happening today, you don't know whether you're coming or going, but you think that you're on your way. Life lined up on the mirror, don't blow it. Whoa. Look at me when I'm talking to you. You looking at me, but I'm looking through you. I see the blood in your eyes. I see the love in disguise. I see the pain hidden in your pride. I see you're not satisfied. And I don't see nobody else. I see myself. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall.
Whoa.
Here we are again.
By your side, but I'm with you when you're all alone, and you correct me when I'm looking wrong. I see the guilt beneath the shame. I see your soul through your window pane. I see the scars that remain. I see Wayne. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall. Here we are again.
Past. I look just like my dad. Light it up, that smoke and mirrors. I even look good in the broken mirror. I see my mama smile, that's a blessing. I see the change, I see the message. And no message could have been any clearer. So I'm starting with the man in the
mirror on the wall.
MJ taught me that.
Here we are again. Through my rise and fall. You've been my only friend.
Take them to Mars, man.
You told me that they can understand the man I am. So why are we talking to each other again?
BP, looks like I did take him to Mars this time.
So why are we talking to each other again?
Well, amen, amen, and amen. It is Sunday, March 12th. Good afternoon, good evening to you. How you doing? It is your host, Pastor D. I'm back in the house just one more time. It is a great day to be alive in the flesh. Amen, amen, and amen. I've been praying for you all during my time of absence, amen, and I pray that God continues to bless you and keep you in all that you do. Amen. Again, how are you doing today, my friends? I pray that you are well. Come on in over here. The water is just fine. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I am excited. I am happy. I am encouraged in this day. Why? Simply because God gave me the breath of life to wake up this morning. He didn't do it by accident, amen. It wasn't misinformed information, amen. He called my name, and he knew that I needed to be where I needed to be, amen. And so he made it so. So because he did that, I am grateful throughout this day. Amen. I let tomorrow deal with itself. Yesterday was the past. I deal with my day as it comes along. Amen. Amen and amen. But it is my prayer that you are feeling the same encouragement in whatever area of your life you are in at this point. I pray that you are encouraged by the Spirit of God. I pray that you are encouraged by your current situation. And even if it doesn't look as if your situation, like there's a way out of your situation, know that we serve a way maker, amen. And because we serve a way maker, I promise you, everything is going to be all right, amen. If you would like to reach the show, you can always email me at the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You guys, most of you have my personal email as well. But the quickest way is to call the show. The number is 319-527-6218. Again, that is 319-527-6218. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakeem Nuba. How you doing today, sir? We might be having some technical difficulties, amen, but he'll pipe in a few minutes, amen. But let us continue on. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this appointed place. We ask right now, Father God, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us wisdom, spiritual insight, that you would continue to show us your grace and mercy. Through it all, Father God, we ask that you would show up, Father God, and show out in our lives. We need you now, Father God, more than ever, to bless us, to keep us, to watch over us, to shield us, to guide us and lead us. Touch, Father God, this network. Touch, Father God, the owner of this network, our leader, Ms. Michelle. Brother Hakeem, and every person, Father God, that supports this network, whether it be through a listener or a host, Father God, whomever it may be, I ask right now, Father God, that you would bless them. Father God, open up the floodgates of heaven, Father God, and pour out the blessings upon your people. Touch, Father God, in a mighty way, those who are addicted, those who are afflicted. Father God, and give some of your people, Father God, if not all people, Father God, give some so that we may tell others, give us the desires of our hearts, so that we may tell this world about a living Savior, a Savior that sees the need and reacts to it. We bless your name right now. We love you. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. I want to move on for just a moment to this portion of the show where we speak to, where I speak back to my listeners who ask questions. Amen. I respond to the questions, and I have here four questions that were asked over the period of me not being here. Amen. So the first question is, hello, Pastor. How do you deal with the burnout? I have been in ministry for a minute and I'm tired. But it is not the lack of faith, but it seems like the world doesn't care anymore. How do you deal with that? Well, first I have to say this, that burnout happens regardless to if the world cares or not. And the reason why burnout happens is because too many times we do the work of God, and we're doing the work, and we're constantly doing the work, and we forget that the human side of us needs a break. See, when you do the work of God and when you are in tune to doing the work of God, everything else becomes minimal in your life because it's not a job. It doesn't appear to be a job. When you're doing the work, it doesn't appear to be. It appears so satisfying and it's so such a good feeling to your soul. Your soul is being fed on a spiritual level when you're doing the work of God. So you don't see it as a job. But you get burned out because your body says, I need a rest. When you're in that spirit, you don't think about your body. The world will never care. The world will never care. They didn't care about Jesus then. They don't care about Jesus now. The only difference is now people are a little more open about what they believe and what they don't believe. But I'll tell you this. The best thing for you to do is to take some time off. That learn how to have your formation period. And even as you're building up yourself, remember that you must take some time to enjoy yourself. You must take some time to smell the roses. You must take some time to recharge. You must take time to, sometimes you have to say no. That's another thing. We're in a job of always saying yes and always trying to support and help our fellow man and to be a servant to the community. And all of that is well with my soul. But you got to learn when to say, I can't do that right now. And just remember that just because you say no, that's not adding no dagger or nail to your character. Because I'm sure, even though it's not written, I'm sure Jesus said no many times. So we have to learn. You're going to get burned out. That's going to happen. But in the midst of it, just know that you have to remember your physical body. As much as you do for the spirit, remember that there's a physical side. Your passion, your desire, your zeal pushes you to care about the people that don't care about the ministry. And there's nothing wrong with that, but don't allow that to be a reason of your burnout. You just keep moving forward. Take some time off. Make sure you're taking some good vitamins and supplements. And take a Sunday off every once in a while. Take some time off. Do something that you want to do for yourself. Believe me, the work, the ministry, the people, the saints, the elders, the children, the preachers, the musicians, the building, they're going to all be there when you come back. Take some time for yourself. Second question is, how do you know if you've truly been called by God to deliver His word? Well, this is the most important question that one could ask when dealing with ministry. It's simply like this. If you feel, but I'll put it in this form. When you are in love with another human being, you want to know everything about them, what they're doing, how they're doing, where they're at, what's going on with them. You want to know all of these different things. And it's the same exact way with your ministry. When you've been called by God to deliver word, you have a desire, a zeal, a pull, dare I may say, a pull to be either in the pulpit or in front of the people, teaching, preaching, leading, helping, serving. If you hear a small, still voice that whispers into your spirit that I've called you to preach the word, to preach, to teach, whatever he tells you, however way he tells you, you have a desire after that moment to be there. Some people don't even know. Like myself, I knew that I was called when I was called, but at that point I didn't care. I wasn't going to do it. Nobody was going to make me do it. And the only person that could make me do it was God. So the first thing I would tell you that I need you to do is to clear your mind. I need you to get into a consecrated prayer. Now, that's just not a normal, Lord, bless my mama, bless my father type of prayer. No. That's the prayer where you're praying to God, whether you're laying prostrate or however way you want to do it. You surrender your all to God and you say, Lord, I am not moving from this point until I know for sure, until you show me for sure that you are calling me higher. Once you do that, and you get into that consecrated prayer, that prayer where you forget that you are praying, you watch and see what God will do. You watch and see how he's going to open up a door for you. And you watch and see how you will hear his voice more clear. But simply put, if I were to ask a minister coming into the ministry, how do they know that they've been called by God? As a senior pastor myself, it's only one sentence that I look for. Because God called me. That's more than enough for me. Because when someone says they've been called by God, at that moment, at that moment, it is now up to them to show that they've been called, which means it shows in their faithfulness, it shows in their humbleness, it shows in their zeal, it shows in their desire to learn, in their desire to teach. You know, anybody can think that they can get up there and preach. Preaching is the last thing that I do on Sunday mornings. But if you, I remember a young man telling me that one time, well, I can do that. That's the last thing that you do. So what I'm saying is, how do I know? How do you know when you've been called by God? Listen to his voice. Just listen, and he'll direct you. Keep in touch with me and let me know what you found after you did that prayer. And if there's any way that I can assist you in your ministry, you are more than welcome to come and join me at my church if you are in the Michigan area, or I will direct you to a church that I know for sure that is a Bible-based believing church. So you may please keep in touch with me and let me know what you found, and let me know what has happened and where you are in your life and on your journey. All right, God bless you. Question 3. What do you do with the money that the church gives you? I don't even think I have to answer that. I could very well ask you, what do you do with the money that you get that your job gives you? I work. I serve. So So it honestly, that's not even a question that I have to answer. But for the sake of you asking a question, most times I put it in my bank account, if you really want to know. And then other times I bless people. Other times I buy myself stuff, with stuff that I need, which is what God gives me my money for. Sometimes I bless the church. Sometimes I give it back. It all depends on what the situation is. So at the end of the day, I do with my money the same things that hopefully you do with yours. Fourth question is, Pastor, I truly love listening to you on Sunday evenings. You have opened me up to learn a lot about the Bible and a lot about God, but I have to ask you this. With all the evidence of what you preach to be seen as untrue, how then can you continue to preach this? So, we live in a information age where information is almost at your fingertips. You can get any information that you want to get. Simply by just touching a few buttons. Well, you're absolutely right. Some of the stuff that we see, that we may believe, has been proven to be false. Most of my mother's generation and your mother's generation and the generations before them never knew that Jesus was not his real name. You know why? How could they if they did not have a way of learning that? But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. There's still something about the name of Jesus that makes hell quake. There's still something at the name of Jesus that makes the demons fall back into the pits of their holes. I'm saying that, yes, there are some things that are false in our belief, but there's false things in every belief. But I can understand why you want to deal with the Bible, because the Bible is one of the biggest, if not the biggest book ever written and the most sold book ever written. And thus, we find that there are so many, according to some people, that there are a lot of loopholes in the Bible. But if you're looking at the Bible, if you're looking at the Bible from a realistic standpoint, yes, you're going to find some loopholes. But if you look at the Bible from a supernatural belief, you'll see that the Bible is a perfectly written book. Why? Because it takes a supernatural faith in order for you to understand and know that what the words are saying in that book. Now, it's just a book, but the words are what's alive. How is it that this one book can simply break down the entire frame of human history, of everything that we deal with as a human being, and that's even relevant to today, and it was written well over 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago? How? It is simply because the words in this book are alive. Now, I'm not saying that you can't find some stuff in there that will prove you to be right. I'm not saying that at all. But I will say this, and I say it often, that I would rather live this life believing in Jesus the Christ and die and find out that there is no Jesus, then what have I lost? What have I lost? But instead, I would rather not live this life not believing, die and find out that there is a Jesus Christ. Then what have I lost? Everything. So when you look at it from that standpoint, you can choose how you want to do things. If you don't want to serve Christ because you think that there's a lot of stuff going on, and that you don't, and you can't piece it together, that's fine. But just also understand that if you step away from him and your light is extinguished and you find out that there is a Jesus, once the blood stops running warm in your veins, that's it. You don't get another opportunity to say, Lord, can I fix it? There are many people right now who lived a life not believing and found out that there is a Jesus, and they wished that they could go back and fix what they messed up in. But I'm going to continue to believe in this. Why? Because it's woven within me. It's a part of me. It's in my very being. I've lost friends. I've lost family. I've lost women who would have been perfect wives and perfect mothers to my children for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. And at this age, I have not lost nothing. But I've gained everything. So I'm going to continue. And even if I'm crazy, even if I'm proven to be wrong, so be it. So be it. I'm still going to believe what I believe. So that's why. And that's why I will continue. Amen. Please feel free to submit any listener questions. We also opened up a chat room through the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can submit your questions there, and I will do my best to answer them. Amen. I don't filter out questions, so if you submit, however way you submit the question is how it will be read and how it will be answered. Said, amen, we shall get ready to move into our message, amen. Scripture will come out of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, and it reads, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck which was planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to cry, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace." May God continue to bless the reading of his holy word. I want to, just for a few minutes, touch on that. The King James Version calls that scripture a season, not a time. So I'm going to go back to that, a season. So for my subject today, new seasons, new blessings. Have you ever been in the midst of a season? As we know, seasons normally last on Earth every 3 to 4 months. There's a new season. As we are in the midst of our winter season, as we're coming to an end of our winter season, new life will begin to spring forth. We find that in our seasons, that things sometimes don't always work the way that we expect it to work. In our seasons, we find that sometimes we have to deal with a little bit more than what we did in the previous season just to get us through that very season. But the seasons itself, every time that you deal with a season, the greatest part about dealing with a season is that the next season is on the horizon. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So as I thought about this message, I was so blessed on so many levels that this King Solomon, who was the wisest king of them all, who was the son of David and Bathsheba, he was the one that God came to and he prayed, and God said, "Boy, what is it that you want? Whatever it is that you want, so as I was with your father, so shall I be with you. Whatever you ask for, I'm going to give it to you. Whether it be riches and glory, fame and fortune, whatever you ask, I'm going to give it to you." And this young boy said, "I would rather have the wisdom to be able to rule over the people." God said to him, "Since you asked not for silver and gold, you shall have it anyway. Plus you will be given the wisdom in order to be able to rule over your people. And there will not be one person wiser than you." And in all his writings, I found that this particular scripture to be his absolute best, amen, because as he spoke about things, he spoke about seasons and how our lives are set up just like that. But he also let it be known that in the midst of your season, there is still a blessing for you, even when you're dealing with a season. Sometimes we deal with seasons, and sometimes we don't see that we're right at the end of one season, getting ready to go into a blessed season. You ever wonder why you find yourself at some times in your life going through a certain time, and it is just a prosperous time for you? It is just a wonderful time for you. That's because that season was meant for you. That was a new season for you, and a new season promoted new blessings. Throughout every season, I've also learned that the body itself gains strength, amen, that there is knowledge learned through every season. One learns just how good God is, and in fact, when you lay down to slumber at night, when you wake up in the morning, that is considered a season because you leave one day behind and you're picking up something brand new. So most times when we sit there and we fall asleep and we wake back up, we're in a brand new season. We're in a brand new day, a new day to celebrate, a new day to praise God, a new day to get things right. Sometimes we might have failed yesterday in the midst of something that we were doing, but now you have a brand new season to open up that door and You see, with everything that has erupted within the last few years, truly this is a season where God's people are to be giving him the praise for his steadfast love and thanking him for looking beyond our faults and our ignorance and seeing the needs of his people. But allow me to get back to this scripture, amen. It's what exactly was Solomon trying to say? Was he just letting us know that times change and to be prepared? Or was he saying to make sure that you have all your issues and your situations all in order for the upcoming winter? Or was he saying that the more that things change, the more that things sometimes stay the same? No, Solomon was saying that the more that the seasons change, the more that God remains the same. And 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted and Apollos watered, but God himself gave the increase. Truly, there is a season where one will plant and one will come along with some water, but without the blessing of God, that seed will remain dead to this world. The seed will not grow and experience the transformation from a seedling to a tree unless God himself puts his hands on it. Solomon, in all his brilliance, reminded us that we are a spiritual people, only looking at the physical when we have to, but above all, we are to acknowledge and marvel at the spiritual. It is the spiritual side that brings us comfort, the spiritual side that brings us peace, and it is the spiritual side that when the physical door is shut in your face, that God is there to open up the windows. Psalm 3:4-5 says, I call out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lie down to sleep and woke up again because the Lord sustains me. But for a moment, let's talk about the doors being closed in your life, amen. I myself have experienced a season or two of heartache and pain, situations that I could not control. But at the end of it, I knew that my God still supplied all my needs. A lot of times we get beat up upon, hurt and pushed, and sometimes the darts aren't even meant for us. But because we are the closest targets, the darts come our way. And a lot of times it is because we are the strongest in the midst of we are the strongest ones in the midst of attack, and God knows who can deal with the world's issues. We can deal with the issues because we know that this is just a season. You know, my favorite my favorite season is fall. It's fall because I get to see all the old stuff pass away. And I know that through a season of transformation, that behold, new life will spawn. New life will grow. That there will be a season coming that will bless not only me, but everybody around. Well, that's what it's all about. When you have a season, a new season, there are new blessings. You see, you don't have to worry about what goes on around you. You don't have to worry about the bad seasons. It's time that the good seasons start to outweigh the bad ones. It's time that we stop allowing the negative things that are here just for 1 minute and are going the next to destroy us. But may I go just a little bit further. You know, the things that try to hold you down are called soul tags. They latch onto us and they deposit negative energy, frustration, and fatigue and failed attempts and remind us of our past regrets. But God said it this, that it shall not continue. In fact, God is about to do a new thing in your life, new to us, but nothing new unto the spiritual. God is saying, God is shouting, and God is yelling that this is your new season. He is tired of his people dealing with the dusty things, the dirty things, the seasons that mean us no good and that don't want to harm us. I am a magnet when it comes to spiritual darts, but too many times we spend more time rebuking Satan for the drought in our seasons than we do praising God throughout the seasons. Sometimes we ought to, we cause our own dirty seasons, and when we try to look in that mirror, we can't even see a reflection because the mirror has so much dirt on it. But glory be to God. I know a man, not King Solomon. Bless Solomon all his efforts and all his wisdom, but I'm talking about a man named Jesus who came and took on flesh, and through his actions, he had the ability to wash you clean, white as snow. He washed that mirror white as snow, and he want that new season. Well, Jesus is the reason for that season. Jesus is looking to turn your frowns upside down. It's time to smile, and it's time to be happy, and it's time to feel good, to have some good days, and no bad doctor's reports. It's time for new praise and new dancing before the Lord. You want a new season? Well, it starts now. I declare and decree that this is a blessed season for you, that no longer will you allow the enemy to infiltrate your mind. No longer will you allow the enemy to tell you that you're not worthy. No longer will you allow the people that are used by the enemy to try to hold you down. No longer will you allow anybody that is not Jesus or is not God to try to deposit into your spirit. I want you to understand something, that it's all about a new walk with you, a new talk with you, a new dance. It's time for you to understand that if you do not claim that this is your season, your new season, then your blessings are going to remain the way that they are. But I want somebody to understand it is a new season, and it's time for some new supernatural blessings. It's time for some of them blessings to come down that you never thought would come out of nowhere. I'm a living witness, amen. I know about those supernatural blessings, the ones that you don't deserve but you get anyhow. Oh yeah, I'm talking to somebody that know what I mean, somebody that understands that it's time that you start focusing on this season. Focus on your new season. Let that old stuff go. Let that old stuff die. Let that old trash go. You can't. My mom used to tell me that you can take old trash, you can take trash and put it in a brand new place, a brand new sparkly place, and when you come back, you're just going to have more trash sitting there. So I want you to understand, it's time that you clear out that dirt, clear out that trash out of your mind, and start focusing on Jesus. When you focus on Jesus and allow Jesus to be the head of your life, when you allow Jesus to be the one that sits you straight, I promise you, I guarantee you, you will see something new that you've never seen before. And it starts right now. Oh, it starts right now. Yeah, I remember that old story. I used to love it back in the day. The story of King Midas. King Midas had a blessing and a curse placed upon him. Everything that King Midas touched, because he was so consumed with being the richest, most noteworthy king of all, that everything that he touched turned to gold. So he was the richest king until he touched his daughter by mistake and she turned to solid gold. And all that he had just came crumbling down. But I give you not the Midas touch, but I give you, I bless you with that Jesus touch. And everything that you touch in the name of Jesus will turn to pure gold, usable for the uplifting and the rebuilding of his kingdom. I give you the blessing that every person that you reach out to will see the enlightenment of Christ. That every child that you reach will come to know that Jesus is Lord and Savior. I bless you in this new season to understand that it is all about Christ and not about you. And if you do the work that he's called you to do, that you will come out of this more blessed than the way you went in. For this is your season. New seasons. New blessings. But I bless you I bless your children, your children's children, all with new seasons. But in this season that you are about to experience, and the great part about the seasons is that not everybody's seasons start the same exact way. Somebody's season may start today. Somebody's may start tomorrow. Somebody's may start in an hour. Your season is your season, and nobody can take it from you. But in your season, I promote and I bless you with new breakthroughs and new blessings and long life and love and not the pursuit of happiness, but just downright happiness. Amen. But I hear you. I hear you saying, preacher, you just don't understand that every time something looks up for me, every time something is coming my way, every time that I'm set up to be prosperous, every time that I am set up to be blessed, every time God puts things in my path and I reach my hand out for it, that every single time that I do that, I'll always find myself being burned. So I just don't know about this season that you're speaking about. I just don't know what you're talking about, but I don't know, because I don't experience good times. I don't experience good things. I don't have any happiness. I don't have any laughter. I don't have any friends. I don't have anything like this going on in my life, so I don't know if I can really get along with this, what you're saying, but I hear what you're saying. Yet every time it always falls down to the gutter. Pastor, I feel as if I am jinx. Bad report after report, and I'm tired. And I can't go on anymore. And I've done what you said. I called on God, but I didn't get a response. But believe me when I say it, God is working it out in your favor. God is setting you up for success. God is positioning you in a way that you're going to stand above all those who called you a failure, and they're going to have to come and praise God in your success. Living witness to it. You just watch what God does for you. Jeremiah, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." Listen very carefully. Declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Plans to give you a prosperous future. My family, my friends, new seasons, new blessings. Solomon put it best, and through my biblical interpretation, I believe that Solomon's point was that everything in this world has a season. But do not be moved by the seasons, but align yourself with God, who controls every season and has the ability to bless you in this season. New seasons, new blessings. I pray that God will touch you in a mighty way. You prepare for this new season for your life. As you prepare to move forward in this new season, watch what God does for you. Watch what God has for you. And it's something that nobody can take away. May God bless you. May God keep you. And as I open up the door of the church, as you prepare for this season, let's start here. And I want to give you an opportunity to get your mind right with Jesus. If you have found yourself on the outside looking in, when you know that you ought to be on the inside looking out, and the devil's been whipping you from to and fro, I'll offer you Jesus right now. He's the only one that can turn your season upside down and make it right side up. If that's you, I pray that you will find a Bible-based church. I pray that you will support them with your presence. Pray with them in the spirit. And also support them through your tithes and your offerings. Learn all that you can and be a great asset to the kingdom of God. May God bless you. May God keep you. This is my prayer for you in this new season. God bless you. And again, may God keep you. Amen. Amen and amen. Brother Akim, are you there, brother?
Hey, sir, I'm here.
Amen, amen. Missed you at the beginning, Doc. I just wanted to touch bases, make sure you were all right.
Yes, I am. I'm good. Had an important call come through while we were working.
Oh, yeah, no worries, sir, no worries. Amen, amen. All right, and as we prepare to close, I just wanted to say to you all to remember that trouble don't last forever. Issues don't last forever. But the blessing of God will sustain your life from this point even up until death. God loves you. So do I. But he loves you the most. On behalf of the good brother Hakim Nuba, Miss Michelle, I am Pastor D. This is the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off. Good night. God bless.
Everything happening today, you don't know whether you're coming or going, but you think that you're on your way. Life lined up on the mirror, don't blow it. Whoa, look at me when I'm talking to you. You looking at me, but I'm looking through you. I see the blood in your eyes. I see the love in disguise. I see the pain hidden in your pride. You're not satisfied, and I don't see nobody else. I see myself. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall.
Whoa.
Here we are again.
Yeah.
Through my rise and fall, you've been my only friend.
Yeah.
You told me that they can understand.
Nobody by your side, but I'm with you when you're all alone, and you correct me when I'm looking wrong. I see the guilt beneath the shame. I see your soul through your window pane. I see the scars that remain. I see Wayne. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall. Here we are again.
Past. I look just like my dad. Light it up, that smoke and mirrors. I even look good in the broken mirror. I see my mama smile, that's a blessing.
I see the change, I see the message, and no message could have been any clearer. So I'm starting with the man in the
mirror on the wall.
MJ taught me that.
Here we are again, through my rise and fall. You've been my only friend.
Take them to Mars, man.
You told me that they can understand the man I am. So why are we talking to each other again?
BP, looks like I did take one of Mars this time.
So why are we talking to each other again?